had a good time. Men's conference, it was powerful. I know when I was there, I addressed some things in my life and my walk that needed to be addressed. You know, most of the men that were able to make it, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. And something changed in my spirit, you know, during those 3 days. And it's powerful when we get together, you know, in the body united for one cause. It's powerful. Yes. And since I left, there's been one a word in my mind, endurance. You know, we think of endurance when we're running a race, right? A marathon, most likely. You know, when I watch on TV sometimes, and they're running marathons a couple hundred miles sometimes, and that's, to me, that's ridiculous. But, you know, it's they're enduring, you know, and they keep on running and running, and they don't stop. And to me, endurance means a lot of things, right? But the Bible talks about they that endure to the end shall be saved, you know, and in my walk sometimes, you know, and to be honest with you, a lot of my walk, I feel like I've been doing a lot of endurance rather than a lot of living, living spiritually. You know, I feel like 90% of my walk has been enduring and the other 10% had just been hanging on, you know, and that's a good thing sometimes, right? Because the Lord said, you know, if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. And enduring, it tries your faith. It tries where you're standing upon, right? The word that you're reading, it tries that. And, you know, a few months back, I know it's kind of ironic, but a few months back, I was eating an orange. You know, stay with me, you know. I was eating an orange, and if you're like me, sometimes, you know, you wonder how they're produced or when you buy something, how it's made, or, you know, and I look up a lot of stuff like that, you know, when I'm eating something, or even if I just go to the grocery store, buy a candy bar, you know, I want to know how it's made. And, you know, I was eating an orange, and I was with my wife, and we were driving, and, you know, I decided to look up how, you know, they're grown. And an orange is grown, believe it or not, you know, from October to December, and that's when they're, you know, fully harvested and ready to be picked or, you know, and sold. And I found it kind of strange that they're grown during the coldest months of the year, you know, and that's when they're ready, nice and juicy for you to go and buy, you know. And the Lord spoke to me, you know, when I was sitting there and I was just eating that orange. And it says He told me, you know, the orange has to go through a season in its life where it's tried by the weather, right? And it's, you know, October through December, it's pretty cold sometimes, and we get a lot of snow depending on where you're at. But it's tried, right? But at the end of those months, the orange is nice and ready to be picked, juicy when you cut into it, right? And so it is with our life and our walk with God sometimes. You know, we deal through some harsh winters, some deep valleys, and it's only in those valleys and in those winters that your faith is tried and that you're strengthened, right? The Lord said, if you endure, but, you know, sometimes I feel like, man, Lord, that's all I've been doing for the past couple months is just enduring. When am I going to cross the other side and live in victory, right? And, you know, in men's conference, he reassured me that I was living in victory. You know, and it is constantly going to be an enduring process. But in that process, I live in victory. And, you know, as simple to say as that orange, you know, when those months pass by and it's picked, so is my life with God, you know, in this world. I'm going to be tried, and seasons are going to come and seasons are going to go. And he's going to strengthen me in those seasons that I'm struggling. He's going to strengthen me in those seasons that I can't move forward sometimes. And it's only then that he truly finds a purpose in me, that I find a purpose in him. And it caused me to examine my life these past couple days. And I could tell you that, you know, my life from that day forward, it's changed in my spirit. Things have changed. And different direction, you know, that we're going, and I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited as the body of Christ. We're in this together, you know, and it's important. It's important that in these seasons that we're going through, no matter what you're going through, and that we stay strong, that we endure to the end. And only that way we can be strengthened. And, you know, it's I could say I can never regret my walk with God, because that's all that I wish to know, and that's all I want to know. It's my walk. Amen. And we endure. Amen.
Praise God. I want to endure, don't you? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm asking Brother Martin to come. Praise God.
God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm so excited and overjoyed to be here today. The Lord did some amazing things at men's conference. I kind of went there with a real heavy, heavy heart. You know, for the 3 days that I was there, I think I cried about every single day. I just poured out to the Lord and let Him pour into me. And, you know, the last time that I stood up here was about 8 months ago. I had just gotten out of prison. And since that day, the Lord has done so many things in my life. It hasn't been easy. It's been, you know, it's rough. Just like Brother Ruben says, you know, got to endure these storms and these seasons. But, you know, I came from, I don't know, not very many people know my background. In no way does the enemy get any glory or any praise out of that. But I grew up in a pretty rough home with a mother who was a heroin addict, prostitute. My father was a drug addict, gang member. That was the home that I grew up in. That's what I grew up believing in. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it gets a little rough thinking about the past, but there's light in my future. You know, when I grew up, I guess I was pretty bad. I was a pretty bad kid. I did what I wanted, didn't listen to nobody. And, you know, I was running and doing everything that was not of God. And so, you know, I ended up going to a lot of juvenile halls, county jails, prisons, California Youth Authority. I was a ward of the courts, a ward of the states. The system raised me, you know, and nobody was really ministering to me about God or talking to me about God. You know, I was kind of just doing my own thing. And you know, as I got older, you know, I eventually had some contact with some people who would minister to my life, and they would talk to me and share things with me. And I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll go to your church, I'll check it out. But I really wasn't trying to do that. But I went a couple of times, and there was one time that I went, and I remember feeling something in that church. And I didn't know what it was. You know, I didn't know what that feeling was. But I remember feeling something. And so my life continued to go on. And as I got older, you know, I ended up moving here to Yakima. And, you know, I was heavily addicted to drugs. Alcohol was violent. I was a gang member. And, you know, I had this belief system in that. You know, I had believed in this gang so much. And I had believed in their cause. And I was willing to give my life to that and hurt people over it. And now today, you know, the belief that I have in God, I'm willing to give my life to God. I'm willing to die daily for Him. You know, that's what God has done for me today. You know, when I got out of prison, the Lord placed some people in my life, Brother Tim and Sister Sally. You know, they opened their doors to me. And they've actually opened their doors to me one other time before, but I was playing God. I was playing around. I was lying. I was kind of just looking for a way out. And it didn't work out. I went back to prison for another 5 years. And I got out again, and I said, you know what, man, everything that I lied to them about and said that I was going to do, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to give it 100%. I said, that's what God deserves from me. You know, it wasn't rough. I went through prison, and I did whatever I wanted, however I wanted, until finally they put me in a solitary confinement for about a little over a year. I'm sitting in there, and I'm just like, man, Lord, why do I keep ending up in here? Why do you keep sitting me down in this small room and locking me in here for 24 hours a day? You might let me out for 1 hour every 3 days. But the Lord started getting my attention while I was there. And he started speaking to me, and he started speaking to me about healing, about forgiveness, about letting go of past pains and hurts, because I held on to all that. You know, I blamed everybody in my life for how I was. I blamed my mom for being a drug addict, blamed my dad for not being around, blamed my grandpa for being abusive. And I carried all that anger and all that hurt and all that pain, and I took it out on everybody. I took it out on everybody that came across my way. But, you know, when I started reaching out to the Lord, I was tired. I was really, really tired. And I said, I'm going to give this 100%. You know, it's funny because today I was at work and I was talking to the Lord in my spirit. And I'm always worried about having things prepared or having things in order. I just kind of this way. I like to do things the night before, or maybe if I'm planning something, I like to plan a week in advance. So I want to be prepared. And so when I was looking at this stuff, I was like asking myself, you know, you like to be prepared in all these material things, but are you prepared for your walk with Christ? Are you prepared for his second coming? And, you know, as I was going through my day, you know, men's conference was, it was powerful. The Lord ministered to my heart and to my life. He's given me a boldness about myself to speak his light and speak his truth. And I pray every single day, I just constantly seeking the Lord diligently every day and putting God first and foremost before everything and anything in my life. And, you know, the Lord's been using me to share what I've gone through. And I pray to be a walking, talking, living testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is only through him that we can find healing, we can find peace, and he can restore your life, because the Lord has taken me from the gutter, and I'm going to just share a few things that the Lord blessed me with, and I am so thankful. I hadn't had a driver's license, maybe one license in my whole life, and I finally got one, right? I was thankful. I got a driver's license, a second one, I ended up getting in the car. Brother Caleb blessed me with this vehicle today. Brother, the Lord told me to bless you with this, and he blessed you with me, and I was thankful. And, you know, as I've continued to be obedient and I've continued to seek God first and foremost, everything that I have, I didn't acquire that. God gave that to me. The minute I start being selfish and thinking, oh, yeah, I did this and I did that and I made this happen, I didn't make that happen. God made that happen. You know, everything that I have, and when I kneel at this altar and I lift my hands and I praise God, I'm just so thankful that everything that he's blessed my life with. And just recently, the Lord blessed me with an apartment. And it's funny because I was in this apartment, I think it was last night. I'm laying there and I hear this train going by. And I hear a horn, like he's pulling on his horn, right? So I'm laying there and I remember being in the Yakima County Jail for, I don't know, I was in there for almost a year waiting to be sentenced. And every morning, they flip on the lights like 6 o'clock in the morning. And you'll hear this train go by. And you hear him blow the horn. And so I'm laying there and I'm just like, you know what? That train reminded me of where I was. And I'm so thankful that I wake up in my bed, in my home today. I don't got to wake up in the county jail with the light in my face. And, you know, it's just God can change. God can restore. God can heal every single one of us in here. He has the power to do that. You know, and I just... You know, when I come in here, you know, I want to seek God. I want to give everything to God, because when I was out there in the streets, I gave everything to that. I went and gave 100% until it took me all the way to a place that I didn't want to be. And then I said, "Why am I here?" You know. But you know, I've got some friends that I love with all my heart. You know, the people, everybody here that I care about. You know, God is real. Men's conference was awesome, men. If you haven't been there, I encourage you to go. And it's an experience. The Lord gave me a different type of liberty there. I feel like he spoke to my heart. He was able to let me lift my hands and praise him. He was able to allow me to jump. I've never done that before. I wasn't kept. I was kind of just always just kind of just sit there. But he let me leap for joy and just praise him. And I cried because it was a peace that I'd never felt before. And, I mean, I'm thankful. And I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue seeking God, and I'm praying for his calling upon my life. I don't know what it is, but I'm praying that there's something there. And I just thank you guys. I bless you. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful tonight? I am thankful. We serve a God that does miracles. We serve a God. I know Brother Martin's probably tired of hearing it. He probably thinks I only know like two or three lines of ministry when we get together. And he's like, man, he probably thinks, man, Brother Hart don't know anything. He just tells me like two or three things over and over and over again, like a broken record. And but it's been a joy to watch this journey. I love watching God work in someone's life. Amen. I love God. I mean, I love watching him work in my life, but I get just as much joy out of watching him work in your life. And sometimes it's just a matter of letting him. And Brother Martin used a word. He said, I became obedient. I won't try to tell his testimony, but I remember a couple of times we talked, and I knew what I was telling him. I think you guys know I've never told you, you do this. That's not how I operate. You know that. But he was asking about something. I said, well, this is what I think. And I knew that wasn't what he wanted to hear. But I watched him respond to that. And you know, the Lord has done amazing things. And the Lord's really just getting started. The Lord's really just getting started. But every once in a while, we all do this. We all are good at giving excuses why God's going to have trouble doing what we need him to do in our life. Anybody ever done that? You go, well, God, you know, this is what I need. But it's always wonderful when I'm talking with someone and they're talking to me about what they need or would like to see God do, but then they tell me why it's going to be difficult for God. Isn't that sort of funny? Like, it's going to be, well, this is what I'd like, but man, here's some reasons why it's going to be hard for God, as though anything is hard for God. And so one of the lines that Brother Martin probably got tired of hearing was, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not subject to the economy of this world. You understand, as a child of God living under and in the grace of God, We're not subject to this world's economy. Well, the world says that I have to do this long before. I don't care what that says. What does God have to say about it? We need to understand that. We need to learn that principle. We are not subject to this world. I don't care if the market's tanking and the economy's terrible. When God says, I'm ready to do this in your life, if you'll submit your life to him and let him, he'll do it. We are not subject. I don't care if somebody needs a 12-month rental history before they'll let you rent a place. We're not subject to their rules. You understand? I'm not talking about being lawless and just going, but when you understand what I mean, right? Okay. And once you're walking out, I said, man, our pastor said, we're not subject to the rules. No, but when we yield ourselves to God, God orchestrates events that doesn't operate in this world's economy. And so we need to yield our lives to him and say, here I am, Lord, do what you want to do with my life. My hope is in you, not in this world system. Amen? Praise God. Amen. I want to share just a few things with you. I have no idea what time it is, but I promise you I'll be done somewhere along the way. Amen. Thank you, Brother Reuben. Thank you, Brother Martin. Amen. I want to endure, and I want to overcome by my testimony. Praise God. Praise God. If you haven't shared your testimony with somebody in a while, you probably should. When's the last time you just told somebody about what God did for you? I was in a Romans chapter 9. I was in a meeting today, and the reason I was in these meetings is I was assigned to another individual in the company, and this individual is getting ready to go through a six-month leadership course along with about 15 other people. And so I was assigned to this individual as a mentor. And so we spent time together today, and we'll stay in communication over the next 6 months as a minimum. And we'll meet face to face at least once every month and spend an hour together. So, the first meeting, since it's sort of in a whole group with everybody, this is sort of like an orientation type deal. Hey, meet each other, and we'll tell you sort of the rules we're going to play by, so to speak. Learn a little bit about each other. And so apparently word travels fast, and he said, I heard you're like a preacher or something. Is that true? I was like, you understand, they asked me to be your mentor because I'm a credit union manager. Oh, yeah, I know, but is that true? Yeah, it's true. Okay, no worries. He begins to tell me about his situation, his family. Different. He says, I'm not very religious. He says, matter of fact, I'm not religious at all. I said, man, we're going to get along great. I hate religion. He said, what? I said, man, I hate religion. I'm not religious either. He was confused, but he's like, hold on a minute. Can I ask you a question? I said, sure. You're a preacher, right? Yeah, we established that just a few minutes ago. I don't understand. That's exactly what he said. I don't understand. And I said, religion's man-made. I'm not interested in religion. I hate religion. I'm not a religious person. He said, well, like, preaching, you talk to people, right? It was really funny. I said, yeah. He said, well, if you're not religious, what do you talk to them about? Now, I'm not making fun of him, you understand? This is a genuine question, and I have an open door, and I'm going to use it as the Lord would give me liberty. And so I said, well, I'm not religious, but I believe the Bible is the infallible word of God, and everything in it's true. And so we teach and preach from the Bible. He said, but you're not. I still don't understand. And so I began to talk to him about relationship. I said, I don't believe in religion. I believe in relationship. And he had told me that he had been married for 6 years. Matter of fact, his wife was in the room across the room. It was sort of unique. And so I talked to him. Some of you have heard this before, but I feel like I need to share it here tonight. So I told him, I've been married almost 25 years. And I said, what would you think if I told you that my wife and I, on each side of the mirror, she has a list that are rules for the wife. On the other side, I have a list that's rules for the husband. And that's what's made our marriage last 25 years. What do you think about that? He's like, uh-uh. I said, no, I'm kidding. We don't. I said, no. I said, and I've had people talk with me and say, man, what would you say made your marriage work? And I say, I begin to tell them about things that I think has made it work. And I've watched them say, oh, okay, let me write that down. Let me write that down. Let me write that down. As though they can walk away and then take their list. Okay, now I've got a list of rules. I've got a list of guidelines. I'm gonna apply this list and it's gonna work. I said, that doesn't work that way. I said, we don't have a list. I said, but there's things I do and I don't do. I said, I have some rules and guidelines in my life as a husband. You understand that? He goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me too, okay. I said, very good. I said, those rules and guidelines in my relationship are there because of the relationship. The relationship is not there because of the rules and guidelines. Does that make sense? Because my wife and I have a relationship, and I value the relationship. Now, if let's just be honest here. My wife could probably talk to you, and there's times along the way where I've missed the mark, fallen short, not been the man and the husband that I need to be. Is that all right? I don't want to paint the picture like I'm this perfect husband. Just talk to her a few minutes. She can tell you that ain't true. All right? I'm being lighthearted, but I'm being serious too. And so I haven't always, and I'm still not perfect in honoring the relationship. I'm striving to do that, you understand? And so there's things that come into my life. There's things I do. There's things I put in place. There's guidelines I put. There's things I try to adhere to. Not because, okay, I want to make sure I do all the rules and check all the boxes to be a good husband. Does that make sense? No, I value relationship. And so because of the relationship, there's things I strive to do. Now, because my wife, thankfully, values the relationship as well, when I miss the mark, she doesn't kick me to the curb. Whew. Praise God. I'd never make it without her, so we'd be in trouble. And so I was talking to this guy about this concept of relationship and how relationship produces some rules and guidelines that I follow, but it will never work the other way. If I try to follow rules and guidelines to produce a relationship, it never happens. And I said, so I believe in relationship, not religion. You understand now? I think so, he said, because I'm very relational. I'm interested. I want to talk to you more about that, he says. I said, we probably will over the next 6 months. There's a point to all that. Romans chapter 9, verse number 30. Romans 9, verse 30. Paul is writing, and he asks a question. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not, everybody say followed not, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which is of faith. What Paul just said here is that the Gentiles, not the Jews, the Gentiles, the dogs as we're called in Scripture, the Gentiles did not follow after or pursue righteousness. Didn't do it. But they have obtained or attained or received righteousness, even though they didn't follow after it and pursue it. Righteousness is right standing, right relationship with God. The Gentiles didn't pursue right relationship with God, but they have received or attained right relationship. Even the righteousness or right standing, right relationship, which is of faith. Next verse, 31. But Israel, that's the Jews, God's chosen people, Israel, which followed, they pursued, they followed after the law of righteousness, the law of right standing and right relationship with God, the rules and the guidelines for right standing and right relationship with God. They have not attained to the law of righteousness. The Gentiles didn't follow after it, and they attained it through faith. The Jews followed after it through the law of righteousness, which was rules, guidelines, works, and they had not attained it. Verse 32. Wherefore, Why did they not attain it? Because they sought it not by faith. Hear me tonight. They did not seek right standing with God through faith. They sought it through works. They sought it through the law of righteousness. And so because they sought right standing with God by doing stuff, they never got right standing with God. Didn't say they didn't have any relationship with. They were always questioning their standing. They always had to do more. They always missed the mark because they could not keep all 613 laws and rules. And so they were always falling short of being in right standing with God. Anybody ever, don't raise your hand, you ever feel like you're just falling short of being in right standing with God? All of us do because we're human. That's why you didn't have to raise your hand. Why do we feel like we're falling short of being in right standing with God? Because we can't do good enough. And you know what that means? That means I'm trying to do what Israel did and try to follow the law of righteousness for right standing with God rather than right standing through faith. I'm trying to follow the rules to be in right relationship rather than trusting the relationship to bring me in the proper guidelines and the way of living. Now you understand, just as my relationship with my wife produces guidelines, and dare I even call them rules in our marriage, because I'm protecting the relationship, so it is in my walk with God. Some people say, man, I don't know how you people live that way. How can you not do this? How come you not do this? How come, man, I don't know how you follow all those rules. I never think about what rules I'm following living for the Lord. I really don't. Well, but you don't do this and you do this and you don't do this and you, what? Well, yeah, but those aren't rules. Those are the result of a relationship that's valuable to me. Those are the result of a relationship that is prized to me. My right standing, my relationship was made possible not by what I did. My right standing, your right standing in relationship with God are not made possible. Righteousness does not come through works. Right standing and right relationship with God comes through faith. But Israel didn't receive it. Why not? Or wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. If you don't seek right relationship, right standing with God through faith, you're going to fall in the same trap. You're not going to receive it. But as it were, they sought it by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Israel could not believe on him. They missed the Messiah. Jesus came and they didn't believe him. Righteousness was obtained through faith in him, not through the works of the law. But because they didn't have faith that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, come to redeem them from their sins, the very thing they so desired, they never received. They will. The veils are going to be removed, the scripture tells us. But if I'm not careful and you're not careful, I'll fall into that same trap and I'll go back. Oh, I'll be drawn to him by relationship, like Brother Martin talked about. I'll want a relationship with him and I'll decide, man, I'm giving myself 100% to this relationship. And I can pour myself into it, and then I find things changing in my life. I want to change them because of the relationship. But if I'm not careful, I'll come through a certain phase, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, okay, now I'm walking the walk by the grace of God. I'm living in the Word by the grace of God. Okay, now what do I need to do? And because the accuser is going to come and say, you know, you're falling short. Like me as a husband when I miss the mark. Yeah, you're no longer in relationship with your wife. You missed the mark. Well, that's the dumbest thing since dirt. Just because I fail and miss the mark today doesn't mean my wife and I are no longer husband and wife, does it? No, the relationship's still there, and right relationship is restored well, you got to fix this, do all that, change this, follow these rules, and then we'll see. No, no, no. Right relationship is restored in our lives because that's what we desire, is relationship with one another. Wouldn't it be great if when I stumbled, my wife said, you know what, if you want to fix this, here's a list. Could you imagine if the Lord did that to us? You know, Brother Lewis, you fell short this week, and so I really value the relationship with you. But if you want to be in a relationship with me, can you imagine the Lord saying this? If you want to be in a relationship with me, let me give you a list of things to do, and when you get all those done, then we'll say our relationship's good again. That just sounds silly, doesn't it? And we can say that sounds silly, but our humanity tries to walk that road, doesn't it? As though I need to earn my way back into right relationship. Now, if I stumble and fall, I miss the mark. Sin, that's missing the mark. I need to go to the altar, whatever that altar is. I need to find an altar, whether that's a prayer closet, an altar at the church, an altar in my bedroom, an altar in the... And I need to repent. And through faith, His blood washes me. I'm cleansed from sin. And the relationship is in right standing. Does that make sense? It's not through works. Now watch verse number 1 of chapter 10. Paul's still writing. Man put the verses there. But it's continuing. I'm almost done here. Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's wanting them to be in right standing with God. The way He is, by faith. He was under the works of the law, and that caused Him to persecute Christians. But He saw the light, literally. And He, by faith, came in right standing with God. Now watch verse 2. This could describe some of us. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have what? What do they have? They got what? A zeal of God. Anybody here got zeal of God? I know Brother Martin's got zeal. He talked about 100% for the Lord. That's zeal. I have zeal of God. I want to do the work of God. He said Israel has this zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. See, zeal caused them to do works. But they were ignorant of God's righteousness, or they never would have pursued right standing through works. Watch, there's three parts here. So what did they do? They had zeal. They wanted to live for God. But they were ignorant of faith, righteousness through faith. And so they go about to do what? To do what? Establish whose righteousness? Their own righteousness. So because they have the zeal of God, but they're ignorant of righteousness through faith, because righteousness in our life doesn't come by works, it comes by the fact that Jesus Christ came, died, shed His blood on Calvary, rose again, we can be washed in that blood. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's not through works, that's through faith. Faith in what? Faith that He really died for me and that His blood really does wash all of my sin away. And that once His blood is applied to my life, I can, if I'm sincere in repentance, go to Him. And that blood that was applied to my life once in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name, that blood that was applied, I can go to an altar in repentance, and the blood is as pure and as powerful as the day I went down in Jesus' name. And again, through faith, not through works, through faith, righteousness returns in my life. Thank God it's through faith. Thank God it's through faith. Because if it wasn't, not a one of us in this room would have his righteousness or would be in right standing with God. But zeal and ignorance caused them to go about to establish their own righteousness. That would be called self-righteousness. Sadly, I can relate to this more than I'd like to. Because I spent much of my life, way too much of my life. I've always been pretty zealous and passionate. But I spent way too much of my life trying to establish my righteousness. As though I could do anything to establish righteousness. If I do, it's self-righteousness. And the scripture is very clear about that. My righteousness is as filthy rags. Well, but I pray 3 times a day. I fast twice a day. I read the scripture faithfully. I give to the poor. I follow all the laws. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law. I'm perfect. These are some things Paul said about himself. Pharisee of the Pharisees. Oh, it doesn't matter. That's self-righteousness. I don't care how much you do or how much I do. That does not put me in right standing with God. It's self-righteousness, and to him, that's filthy rags. And I was feeling so good about everything I was doing, trying to establish my righteousness. And the Lord said, keep doing that. That's filthy rags. And when you have time, go look that scripture up and look in the Hebrew at what that filthy rags is. It'll give you a real vivid picture of how he views me trying to establish my own righteousness through works. Ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. And here's the issue. This is what caused them to continue trying to establish their own righteousness. This is an indicator. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Whoo, I know we love that word, submit. The reason they kept trying to produce it through works, is because they hadn't submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Verse 4, for Christ, everybody say Christ. Christ is the end. Everybody say the end. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Would you stand with me tonight? You want to study that a little bit more? Go read all of Romans chapter 4. Go read the rest of Romans chapter 10. Goodness, go read all of Romans. Righteousness comes through faith. Right standing with God comes through faith. Faith in what? Faith that He is the Christ. Faith that He died for my sins. Faith that His blood washes away my sins. And faith that when He takes my sins, He gives me right standing with Him. You say, it's got to be harder than that. Shouldn't I have to, or shouldn't they have? No. We're not under the law anymore. Right standing with God comes through faith. See, the enemy of our soul wants us to make it harder than that so that we can say we did something to earn our righteousness. And the Lord wants us to clearly understand, you have right standing with me, not because of anything you did, but because of everything He did. I had somebody say to me once, they were praying for me. I need lots of prayer. They were praying for me. They said, Brother Hart, they said, you put expectations on yourself that God doesn't even put on you. Said, you got stuff that you're trying to hold to and live up to. God's not asking that of you. That's you putting that on yourself. You know, they were right. The Lord was helping me, was ministering to me, was healing me. You know why? Me doing anything to earn my righteousness will never work. Simply because I'll take credit for something only God can do. And I'll begin to think, well, look at what I did. Righteousness is obtainable to every one of us through faith. Through faith. Anybody here quote Matthew 6:33? You got it, Sierra? Maybe? No, maybe. I know these kids know it. They just can't remember right now. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? We know that, right? And what else does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? His what? Righteousness. Now, we talk a lot about seeking the kingdom, don't we? And I'm guilty. The Lord has just been dealing with me about this today in my 3-hour drive over the mountain talking to Him. Lord, I seek Your kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not your righteousness. Seek His righteousness. Well, what am I seeking? Only way I can find His righteousness is through faith. I've decided I'm going to give some energy to seeking His righteousness. What does He have to say about it? He didn't separate His righteousness from... He said if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. Praise God. Aren't you thankful tonight? Lord, let us not pursue self-righteousness. Lord, let us not rely on our human works, no matter how noble they might be. Let us not fall into the deception of the enemy that I can do good works and that makes me righteous. My righteousness is filthy rags. But let me not fall into the condemnation of the enemy that I cannot attain righteousness, because through faith, and Lord, I have great faith in what you've done for me. Through faith, we attain righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for becoming sin for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Quit beating yourself up. Look at your neighbor and say, quit beating yourself up. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean just do whatever you want, but let his relationship guide you and be made righteous by faith. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.